Thank you that we can come to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you quicken our minds, our hearts. You make us able, Lord, to receive it and put it to work in our lives. We give you honor and glory to you, Lord, because we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so, process of success. You know, success is actually, there are many definitions of success, but for me, success is appropriating what Jesus has done for us. Everything else is secondary, is not critical. But appropriating what Jesus has done for us is the basis of getting anywhere in life. And so, this is a key idea. We've been starting to talk about that and starting to see that it's a process and it's not an instantaneous thing. Our salvation is a process. It's not just something that happened one day. Okay? It's something that goes on and goes on until we become like Jesus. The closer we get there, the more exciting it's going to get. And when we understand that, we understand, you know, that as we grow close to Him, things are going to be changing inside us. And we start receiving more and more the promises, or actually appropriating the promises, the same way as Israel took the land that was promised to them, but didn't take it overnight. It took them 40 years. When instead, you know, it was because of the stubbornness, because it could have taken 40 days. And it's a bit the same with us, and we just, you know, easy, quick to criticize others. You know, we do the same all the time. We are not perfect. You know, we miss it more time than we do it right. But you know, that doesn't matter, God doesn't really care about that. The only things He cares is we keep trying. They keep moving toward that direction. That's what He cares. It's when we stop trying and we stop wanting and we stop moving in that direction that this problem comes start to come up. Because there are reasons for that. You see, but we can have assurance. We can be solid in our position that the promises are 100% guaranteed. Because on the promises, God's faithfulness is based. When we start understanding that, then we can, you know, really agree with the scriptures that, yes, in Christ they are yea and amen. All the promises of God. But one important component of that is our understanding and our ability to think right. Because when we think right, we ask right. When we don't ask right, we can't solve the problems. Einstein wasn't a believer. He was agnostic. But he was a person at the same time was smart and had some understanding. He just didn't understand about what we know. Okay? But he said something that was really good. You know, he says, and many other things that is really good. Because he could see through things because of the way his mind operated. He said that we cannot solve problems with the same thinking that we use when we created them. It's logical. I mean, this is, you know, that's the truth. If you think the same way as you thought before, and because the way you thought, you did certain things, and you got to where the place you are now, before you're going to see a change in your life, you have to change what you think. And this is the problem when people are stuck and rigid in their thinking, because unless you change what you think, you're going to get the same results. God cannot work in you. God is going to change what you think first, and then you're going to see a different result. So we have to be open. And that what that seeking means the scripture we read before, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be open. Seeking means that you are willing to receive something new, some new understanding, some new revelation, some new way of thinking that is going to bring you to the solution you are looking for. This is what has to happen. You can't, by seeking, try to force God to think the way you think. You see, most people in their prayer manipulate God. They don't listen to God. They want to you can't manipulate God, but they try. Because they try to impose on God their ideas. Instead of being open to God to show us His way of thinking. This is why the scriptures are so important, and we have to go to the scripture not with a fixed theological idea, but we have to go open for God to reveal to us what is really telling us. And according to where we are going to be able to see more. We are going to be able to understand things that we couldn't understand before because we weren't ready. So there is a time when we have to prepare ourselves. Preparation is important. Preparation is what makes us able to do things. If we are not prepared, then we are not going to be able to hear. This is why, you know, I was sharing before about Moses and the burning bush. Before that time, he wasn't ready to have that experience. But when he was ready, he could notice this bush that was burning. You see, when we are ready, we are able to see what God is doing in certain area, and we can respond to that. But until that time, it's just in front of our eyes. The things I was sharing last Saturday, you know, that revelation is not that God finally is telling us something new. He's been trying to tell us that all the time. Is that finally the veil is removed from our eyes. That's what the word revelation means. Is the removal of the veil from our eyes so that we're able to see what has been there all the time. And we were blind to see. That's why Jesus said, who has eyes to see, let him see. And who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's because we had to prepare to be able to hear. We had to seek. That means, you know, we had to realize that we are in need. You see, it says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. And it's not that the fact that we lack, it's just that we realize that we need His direction, His anoint, His revelation, His removing the veil. Right thinking and asking God the right thing, because otherwise you can't ask God the right thing. And the second thing, you know, that you have to ask with all your heart. I mean, you have to mean business. And what that mean in business is the things that prepares you. And you don't mean business by saying, I mean business. Mean business is by the way, your commitment that you have to God. Your commitment to God. To your relationship with Him. Now, people sometimes don't get the results. Sometimes fail. But there is no failure until you give up. The point is, we have to understand this is part of the process of receiving, of being successful, of being able to achieve God's promises. This thing I was sharing before, the minister had to pray 3 times on the eyes of this lady. If he wasn't determined that he was going to push through, and I prayed once, nothing would have happened. If he prayed twice, nothing would have happened. He pushed the 3rd time, and the thing took place. I mean, it's a big difference between somebody that can see and that cannot see. All right? And it's just determination, commitment, not giving up, that makes a difference. Now, why do we give up? Well, some people are more prone to give up than others. But there is a reason that they are that way. And the reason is in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. This says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now, let's make something clear. Number one, hope is not what people intend for hope. Okay? Generally, the world, the people, you know, what generally the understanding for hope is, oh, I hope that that's going to happen. That kind of an attitude. That's not the hope we are talking about. You see, the Christian hope, what is intended for hope in that translation there, the original Hebrew there, implies a confident, eager expectation. You see, you are expecting it to happen. And you are there, ready to go. Hello? You see, that is the thing that has to be there that makes you committed. Otherwise, you are not going to be committed. Otherwise, say, well, that doesn't work. The first time it doesn't work, you just say, oh, well, I'm not wasting my time. See, this is why people don't pray. Because they don't have hope that they get answered, their prayer answered. If they would believe that they get prayer answered, they would pray. The thing is, they think it's a waste of time. And with that attitude, it is. Amen? Now, when hope deferred, so we desire, we hope, we have expectation for something, and just doesn't happen, and just pray the first time, it doesn't happen. Pray the second time, doesn't happen. Maybe praying the third time doesn't happen. And so, oh, give up. I know. That's the heart has been affected by that. You see, the heart is going to accept the fact it doesn't happen. It's not working. It's not just God that's not going to answer this prayer. See, the problem is with the heart, the effect of the heart because of the circumstances or the situation we've been in. Okay? Now, in Hebrew, chapter 3, says something very important. And this is something that we need to understand, and we're going to go through it carefully. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. You see, an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief produces, is a part of it being evil heart. Now, generally we, with evil, we associate always a minimum of moral deprivation. And that's not the meaning of the Greek word in this sentence. The Greek word in this sentence means, is poneros. And poneros means hurtful. Or more than just morally sinful, is producing anguish or producing pain. So unbelief always produces pain because it separates us from God. What is unbelief? Unbelief is not believing what God says or believing something contrary to what God says. And that produces all sin. See, all sins, the result of all sins is not because we want other things, it's because we believe that the other things are better than what God said. We always go after fulfilling our desires. If you like it or not. People say, oh, this is a good hedonistic. It's not hedonistic, this is the way God made us. I mean, we enjoy God and so we go after God. If we don't enjoy God and we think that God is going to smash us at first things that we do something wrong, we don't go after God, we go after other things that are going to have more fun. And I can understand that. Hello? I mean, we are not self-inflicting pain. You're crazy if you do that. You are abnormal. That's not God created you. God created us originally to be happy. Amen. And to be fulfilled. and to have all the good things for us. The Garden of Eden was a paradise. Okay, but the point is, we lost that, and we got confused. And that's part of the whole problem with the original sin. You see, that is passed on. But that shouldn't be so. When we are born again, our eyes are open. And we see God, we should see God the way He is. And should start to experience God the way He is, so that we shouldn't be anymore thinking that other things are better than He is. That changes all our motivation. Or we should, if we have any understanding. The fact is, sometimes we got that, but we got also a good portion of religion pushing on us and telling us all the things that confuse us. So, here he's saying very clearly that we have to be aware of the evil art of unbelief, because that's going to be the part separate us from God. We have to believe what God says. And this goes on. But I exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful. I mean, sin is not just all bad. Sometimes sin has a pleasure in it. That's why we do it. And that is deceiving us. This is the way to get pleasure. Instead of going to God, we go to a surrogate to get pleasure, when instead we should go to God to get pleasure. And so we end up doing those things that are actually hurting us, because on the long term, you know, the only reason why God don't do that is because it's going to hurt us. It's not because He wants to take away the fun of us. He has much more fun for us to have than those things that are going to hurt us. Then we become ardent. We don't believe anymore. You see, our unbelief is strengthened. We don't believe what God says. We believe what the way to do is to take drugs, or to do this, or to do the other things, and, you know, to have sex, and that to substitute that to God's pleasure. And this is really untrue. See, we become deceived in using a surrogate for the things that God has provided for us. Let me continue reading these verses here. So it says, you know, don't be ardent. Okay. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. To the end of what? To the end of when we get the answer to the question or to the problem we have. Okay, when we had to hold on steadfast, we should not give up. We should hold on and believe until the thing takes calm. And, you know, and when there are things in the way, then those things are going to be removed. Even if we don't know what they are. We don't need to know everything. You see, we need to be open to God, because there is a work that He does. You see, He is the one setting us free. We are not going to be setting, we cannot set ourselves free. It's His work. We are His workmanship, His masterpiece. But we have to be cooperating with Him. We have to allow Him to do the work in us that He wants to do in the first place. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He's going to do it because He's faithful. So we have to be holding steadfast. Don't give up. Hold on. Be persistent. Be decided. Hold on. I mean, Abraham held on for 40 years. Okay? If he would have stopped one day before, he wouldn't have had the son. So let's continue here. What did he say today? If you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So, and he's talking about the Jews and what they did all the time, and that's why it took them 40 years. You know, could have been much faster. Could have been much better. Would have had much fewer problems. Most of them died in the desert. That means failed in what they were trying to do. Only a bunch of them were able to hold on, because they held on. Because when they went to see the things, they didn't say, oh, they're like giants, you know, we're going to be beaten up and chewed up like little ants. You know, the other one says no. And they got in. What do you do when you're facing a difficulty and a circumstance, a problem? Are you giving up before you even try? Or giving up after you try a few times? Or you just hold on? That one makes the difference. This, you can look at it simply in terms of receiving the promises. But really, you apply it to the work about salvation and shows how once saved, always saved is nonsense. Because theoretically they were saved when they would come out of Egypt, but they died in the desert. See, we had to not just take some scripture and fit them the way we like to see them. We had to see the whole scriptures and see what they say. Another example of that, what I'm saying, is what Jesus said concerning when you cast out a demon from a person. Do you remember? I mean, if you cast down a demon from the person is saved, isn't it? It's delivered. Salvation means deliverance, means healing, means all those things. But it says, you know, but what it happens? The demon goes around in hard places and doesn't know what to do, and he says, I'm going to try to get back where I was before. And he gets back with seven more than evil than he was. So what happened is, didn't he lose his salvation? Hello? Do you see that? So you see that it's possible also to lose the healing that you got. But the thing that you got at once doesn't mean that you need to keep losing it. You just keep holding on. You don't give in. You hold on and you got the victory. I know, because it works. It works for me, it works for you. Don't give up. Giving up is giving up. Amen? Unbelief, so it's evil in the sense that produces damage, damages you, makes you not be able to receive God's promises. So whenever we don't get God's promises, what's the cause? Unbelief is not God. So, but I believe. Well, yeah. To what degree? You see, believing is with the heart. That's why you have to understand the heart. You have to understand how to deal with your heart. That's the way you have to learn to understand the difference between what you think or what you agree mentally and what actually your heart believe. To know what your heart believe, see your action and your results. That's the only way that you see what you really believe. If you don't get the result, that means you don't believe it. You may believe it a bit, but it's not enough to bring it to pass. So there is some work to do, and this is why you need to understand the way the heart works. Because when you understand how to change your heart, and you say, oh, God changed my heart, that's only half of the way. God cannot change your heart by himself. You have to cooperate. And that's understanding how your cooperation takes place. Understanding the part that you play is not by works that you get saved. It's by cooperating with God. It's by allowing yourself to believe with the heart that is true what he said. Well, I'm afraid that the time went by. We had to continue next time. But we are going to talk about the part that makes a difference, our motivation. We saw how our motivation is damaged by temporary failure. Temporary failure doesn't need to damage us if you know how to handle it. Even in the world, they know better than that. Let me quote. I saw it's a funny scripture, it's a funny quote here. Let me see if I find it. You know, we just generally tend to blame God for our failures, instead of really realizing that we have to change what we believe. If we learn to do that, we're going to be much better. That's the sentence that came home to me. Sometime, by losing a battle, we find a way to win a war. All right? What I'm saying to you is this, that we have to understand that we have a big part. We are co-workers with God. And we have to understand what that co-workers mean. And we have to understand about the heart. That's a heart is the least taught topic in all Christianity. Although, it's probably the word is most used throughout the whole New and Old Testament than any other word. Salvation is of the heart. Christianity is of the heart. God is a God that looks at the heart, not the other things, not even our behavior, not the way we even look. Isn't that important? So we need to know more about it. We need to understand more about it. See, this is something that for years I've been studying. How do I really change my heart? What can I do to change my heart? Because it's not reachable just because of my will. We're going to be sharing some of that. For now we close. Amen. Do you get anything today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we say, I believe?
I believe.
I believe the word of God.
I believe that God is faithful.
I believe that His promises are yea and amen. And I'm going to receive them. Because I'm a believer. Because all things are possible to them that believe. I am a believer. All things are possible for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that gives us courage. Thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope. Lord, we are going to believe to the end, the way it says there. Because we know that in you, we cannot but overcome. We are called to be overcomers. And we'll be overcomers. We are overcomers today. Because we'll not give up. In Jesus' name. Amen.